contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
We thank you. We thank you for your presence and your power. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us this ministry, and we faint not. We thank you, Lord, that we gladly do the duty of reconciliation of mankind to you, Lord, by introducing them to Christ Jesus. Father, we ask that you would touch every heart, every mind, every soul, and every spirit that is in this place today. We trust you, Lord. And we understand that there's no weapon formed against us that'll prosper. And no tongue that'll rise against us that'll be able to condemn us. Father, we understand that you're the joy of our salvation. And Father, we're not just happy, but we're overjoyed about your presence being in us and with us. Thank you, Lord, because you're not only omnipresent, but you're omnipotent, you're all-powerful, you're omniscient, you're all-knowing. And you know about our troubles. You know about our rising up and our going down. You know how to lift us. You know how to love us. And you know how to lead us. And we thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech, that my tongue bears the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of every individual in here, the hearer, let it be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing and deliverance and power, peace, and even prosper the person that hear and believes what thus said the Lord. Father, I come thanking you that I don't have to come for in form or formality or for to get favor of man, but I come to do the will of him that have sent me. Thank you for that confidence, Lord. And Father, after you've touched and delivered and healed and set free and done everything you want to do to everybody that you want to do it to in this place, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the praise. We'll honor you. And we will join with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. You're worthy. He's worthy. I want to look at some kept by the power of God. I can see how God is blessing and how God is healing and how God is delivering and what plans he has for me. That's why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to what's before and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is in Christ Jesus. Come on and say amen here. We got to understand, he'll lift your head above your enemies. Then you look, the enemies are still around him, but he's not looking at the enemies anymore. He said, the enemies round about me. There'll be people around you that's going to talk about you. There are people around you that's going to hate you for no reason at all. People around you that's going to discredit what you're trying to do. But you can't look at all of that. You need to keep your focus on him, because he's the one that's going to deliver you. He says, therefore will I offer sacrifices in his tabernacle, sacrifices of joy, and I'll sing praises unto the Lord. When you realize how good God is, you don't mind opening up your mouth and saying God is good. When you realize God can deliver you, even in the midst of your enemies, you can sing a song with your enemies all around you. I can sing, amen, and I can tell God how good he's been and testify in the songs I sing with my enemies right there. I'm singing and I got joy. You see, some people, they got happiness and joy mixed up. Happiness come from happenings. What's happening to me? My enemies all around me. What's happening to me? I got trouble on every side. But happiness happens happens because of happenings. I can't have happiness if nothing good ain't happened. But I got joy because joy come from the Lord. He said, I give you joy. Come on. Unspeakable joy. I can't really tell you how I got this. I know my enemies are all around me. I know I got trouble in my way. I have to cry sometime. And I lay awake at night. But that's all right because I know that Jesus will fix it. I wish I had somebody that heard me today. Oh yeah, he'll fix it. And so therefore, I got the joy of the Lord as my strength. Oh, preach anyway. Some of y'all getting mad in here because I ain't preaching the words you want to hear, but praise be to God. He said, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. See how the psalm just shifted? It shifted from me having confidence in God to just start praying to God. He said, when I cry, Lord, I want you to hear and answer me. I want you to be encouraged to know that God knows what you're going to pray before you yet speak. Oh yeah, he heard your cry. He even knows what's in your heart before you pour out your heart before him. So God already knows what's going on. And sometimes we cry out to the Lord just like David did and say, Lord, have mercy also upon me. You see, David understood mercy. Mercy is what God gives you to keep you from getting what you really deserve. Preach anyway. And he said, you know what? David said, I did some stuff and I know this could be because the vengeance is the Lord's. This could be that, but Lord, have mercy on me. David, when he done something one time, he numbered the people and God said, don't number the people, but he did it anyway. And then he said, God said, you got three choices that I'm going to give you. And David said, Lord, let me fall in your hand because you're more merciful than man. And so I'm glad here today that God is not only merciful, but he's gracious. And then he says in verse 8, now he said, and answer me. And he said, when thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Look at the prayer and the providence of God. He says, I sought God and I wanted him to answer. And God had already said something to him prior to his prayer. He said, seek my face. And he said, Lord, when you say that, I'm looking. I'm not looking at my enemy. I'm not looking for something to happen. I'm not looking for a blessing to fall out the sky. Not looking for no money. Not looking for somebody to come along like the Lone Ranger and save me. But Lord, I'm looking for you. I'm chasing after your face. One thing that we got to understand that when you're looking in God's face, sometimes you can, if you get to know somebody by the expressions of their face, you know what they're saying. And sometimes if you really know them, they don't have to open up their mouth. If your children know who you are, if you know your children and your children know you, you can look at them and they know, uh-oh, it's time to straighten up. You can look at them and say, and they know you, they're all right. And so what God does, he guides you. And the Bible even tells us that he will guide you with his eye. And if your eye ain't on his eye, how can he guide you? Because our eye most of the time is on people. Our eye is on what we call a move of God. And I said this and I said it again. God don't move because theologically that's not correct. Because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. All the time. He's the reason he can be the same yesterday, today, and forever is because he's in yesterday and today, and he'll be the same in forevermore. And so God doesn't move like we say he's moving, but what God does, he moves us. He delivers us. And what the word deliver means is to be moved. And so God moves us from our trouble and puts us in a place of peace. I wish I had somebody here. And so he said, Lord, when you said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. But here's the problem. Our flesh don't always seek God. Our heart wants him, but our flesh don't. The Bible said even the carnal mind is a rebel against God. We think that our flesh has to have so much to do with it. But if our heart would seek him, if that's all we want is in our heart, is the desire to see God's face, we will begin to seek him. And when we seek him, it's not something easy to do. Because some people think that I'm just casual about seeking. All I have to do is this. But no, this is when you pray, when you talk to God, when you read God's word, when you dedicate your time to him. That's what we call seeking God. But then David goes on to say, hide not thy face far from me. He said, I'm going to seek you, but don't get me in a place where I got to go too far to find you. Oh, come on and say amen. In other words, you never ever play hide and seek with somebody. And sometimes the best hiding place is right by the base. My God, today. Oh, yeah. And so God is saying, I really want you to find me and tag me or touch me. Come on and say amen here. And so I'm not going to hide myself from you too far so that you'll be able to find who I am. And he said, put not thy servant away in anger, but thou hast helped me. Leave me not and forsake me not, and neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. He said, you're the only one that can save me. You're the only one that can deliver me. He said, don't put me off, because if you put me off, I don't have no hope. I ain't got no help from nobody else. They used to sing that song, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Amen. And he said, when my father, let me slow down here, because I want to make sure we understand that he said, the God of my what? Salvation. The God of my deliverance. He's the only one that can deliver you. We keep looking for people to deliver. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, I'm going to this conference because I believe I can get my deliverance at that conference. I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to that church, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, because that's the only place I can get it. You know what? That ain't the only place you can get it. Wherever God is where you can get it. And if God is there, then you can get it. You just got to activate your faith when you're putting your faith in something else. And you know the reason why God does those things for them when they go those places is because their faith is higher than it would be if they were at the house. Oh, yeah, I used to hear stories and testimonies getting delivered at their own house, getting set free at their own house, God healing them while they laying in the bed reading the word of God. Oh, come on and say amen. And so God can deliver and heal anywhere at any time. There's no headquarters. I wish people quit saying that. This the Holy Ghost headquarters. You a lie. The headquarters is in heaven. And so if that's the headquarters, he's given us a mission to occupy until he comes. I would be wrong to say this is the only place that God moves. This is the only place that you can get something from God, or the hand of God can touch you. I'd be wrong to say that, because God is bigger than just this church. God is bigger than just Living Word Ministries. God is so much greater than us. We haven't even tapped into what God can do in us. I wish I had somebody here. And so God is the God of my salvation. And see, that's where we get it all wrong, because we worried about somebody else. And he said, you need to learn salvation for yourself. You need to learn how to get salvation and be saved and be delivered for your own self before you start talking about, I'm going to be a deliverer. How can you be a deliverer when God is the deliverer? God can use you to deliver people, but you're not a deliverer. Come on and say amen. Because God will use anybody who's available. God will use a child to bring a deliverance. I wish I had somebody. And the scripture even say, and a little child shall lead them. I wish I had somebody. And so God can use who he wants. God is sovereign and he's all powerful. So God can do whatever he wants to do. Oh, yeah. Look at this. Now, not only did we find that God's presence is everywhere, and we need to have a personal reliance on God's power, and not only do we understand that there's prayer to be made in the providence of God, and we receive God's protection because he hides us from our enemies, but then we realize that there are some promises that God makes to us. And look at what he says in verse number 10, and I'm almost done. He says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Let's stop right there, because I don't want to get too deep and miss what I have to say here. Look at the promises of God. He says, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Mm-hmm. When my mother and my father forsake me. What is he promising here? He's promising and letting us know that if nobody else loves you, because ain't nobody going to love you like your mama and daddy. Because, see, when you was a baby and you messed your diaper, the people who wanted to hold you, they quit holding you. And they gave you back to your mama and daddy. Because they're the only one going to love you with mess on you. So what he's saying here is that when the people who love you when you messed up, when they all gone, the Lord himself, with the mess you got on you now, he'll lift you. We need to know that God will lift us. with the mess that we have on us, when the mistakes are made, then nobody else will love you but God. Because people will turn their shoulder, they'll turn their back on you. They'll start saying, you know, I knew they wasn't going to make it. I know they wasn't about nothing. They ain't saved like they say they saved. But guess what? God will lift you up. He said, when mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. We need to realize that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. The Lord will lift me out of what I'm in. The Lord will write, when people write me off, then the Lord will wipe me off. Then he'll fill me with his Holy Spirit. I wish I had somebody. When the mother and father, when they leave this world and you say, I don't have nobody to depend on, you stop looking at people to depend on. Stop looking at who can help you out and realize ain't nobody but the Lord can do this. Ain't nobody but the Lord can comfort me. Can't nobody do this but God. The only one that can give me some consolation is God. The only one that can comfort me is God. And so God will give you comfort. He'll give you counsel. He'll help you. Amen. Even in your confused state, God will say, I'll lift you up. And see, some of us have been down way too long. Some of us have been down in depression. Some of us have been down in defeat. But God is saying, I'm coming with my hand to lift you up. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And so the Lord will what? Take me up. And so I'm looking for God to lift me up, because it's been a little while since I seen mama. Come on and say hallelujah. But I thank God that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. I just came to encourage somebody. I want to let you know, if it ain't nobody but the peas today that I encourage, that you need to know that you can be kept by God. You need to know that the Lord will take you up. If your father's gone, if your mother's gone, you need to know that the Lord will lift you. But not only does he promise that God will lift you, but I found that he promised that God will lead you. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. And so when I look at the word that he says, lead me in the what? Plain path. He's saying, look, lead me in a certain path. Lead me in a straight path. I don't want to have to try to get in a maze and try to figure this thing out. You see, God makes things plain. It's people that make things difficult. People try to make you think that you got to jump through hoops. You got to roll around the tree. You got to go through the trail. You got to find your way through the woods. Then God will bless you. No, God will make that path plain. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name is on the line. And God is not going to let you get lost while you're trying to find him. He said, if you draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. And they used to sing a song that said, one step. If you take one step, God will do the rest. Do I have any witnesses? But notice what he said, the first word in verse 11 says, teach me thy way. In other words, you need to be instructed. A lot of times people don't like to hear good teaching. They don't like to adhere to sound doctrine. They rather believe a bunch of fanatical mess than really look at what God has said and live by what he said. Now, if I had told everybody to get up and run around the church five times, and God is going to bless you at your house, you're going to get that new car. If I would have prophesied to somebody, everybody would have went out of here and told the whole Natchitoches that Al Holden's prophesying. If you run around the church, and they'll be waiting on their prophecy to come to pass, even though it wasn't even what God said. Now, then everybody would come to this church and say, I'm looking for a word, but I refuse to do that because I'm giving you a word. I'm instructing you. He said, teach me thy way. David said, if you teach me your way, he said, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. And why does he say, because of my enemies? Because if I get caught up with all of that, if I go around the curve and can't see my straight way, then my enemy can be hiding to ambush me while I'm along the way. You see, God doesn't want us to walk into ambushments. Oh, come on and say amen. He makes it plain to us. See, in order to be saved, saved, you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But some people think that's too simple. So they think you got to do a whole bunch of other stuff in order to be saved. But God is telling us that we need to learn the ways of the Lord. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And what we've made church in this day is not really what church is about. You see, the church is a custodian to the kingdom. What do you mean, preacher? That's what he told Peter. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Now, ain't nobody in the building have more keys than a custodian. The custodian got a key to everything. In other words, he opens up the door so that you can come in. He makes sure it's cleaned up so that when you get there, you can have what you need. Preach anyway. And so if the church is a custodian to the kingdom, we need to just open up the door so people can come in. We need to clean the place up so they can find somewhere to lodge. Do I have any witnesses here? He's saying, deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such that breathe out cruelty. But not only will God lead you, but God will cover you. He said, deliver me not over to my enemies. In other words, God, don't leave me here with my enemies having rule over me. God, don't let my enemies see me get down. You see, you may be down, but God always, he protects and covers you, so your enemy won't even know how bad you've been wounded, how bad you feel. Oh, come on and say yes. Anybody here ever felt real bad? But I'm going to press on the upward way. Do I have any witnesses? I'm going to try to make it anyhow. I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to read anyway. I'm going to praise the Lord until I feel better. I wish I had somebody. You see, your enemies are looking for you to fall, but God is looking to raise you up. Do I have anybody? He said, false witnesses, they lied on me. They accused me of something, and they breathe out cruel things. They say everything about me except calling me a child of God. But guess what? David said, I could have gave up. Look at verse 13. I almost labored this, that I almost fainted. But God, look at what it said. I had fainted unless I believed. Oh, come on and say amen. The last thing David says that God will do is that God will strengthen you. He said, I almost gave up. My knees almost buckled. I almost fell out. I almost took the towel and throwed it in. Come on and say yes. He said, unless I had to believe, I had to have faith. I had to believe in God. Oh, come on and say yes. That's why God lifted his head, so he can see the goodness, so he can see that God will lead you in green pastures and beside still waters, that God would restore your soul, that he'll lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, come on and say yes, that he will anoint your head with the oil of God. He said, I almost fainted, but I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I almost gave up because I saw so much wrong, but I still can see. I'm just like Asaph in Psalm 73. He said, my foot almost slipped, but when I went to church, y'all have anybody here? Say, but I went to church, I almost lost it, I almost gave up, but when I went to church, I saw what God was doing, and I understood that this is not the end, but this is the beginning of something great. The life that I live, even if I die in this flesh, this is just the beginning of eternal life. Do I have any witnesses? He said they breathed out cruelty. They said everything. But then in verse 14, he said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Anybody here? Say, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to stay right here until God does something. I'm going to be patient.
as the scripture had said, let patience have her perfect work. You don't have to say amen, but that's what the word says. And why do we need patience? He says, so that you may be entire and lacking nothing. If there's something you need, just wait on it. The Lord knows what you need. He'll supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Preach anyway. Gotta encourage myself. I'm like David now. I'm just gonna wait on the Lord, and I'm gonna hold courageously, and he's gonna give me strength. Strength in the battle, strength in the time when I'm suffering, when I'm down, he strengthens me. Do I have anybody that realize that the arm of the Lord is stretched out to you? He said, the arm of the Lord. What did Isaiah say? He said, whose report do you believe, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, you know what that really means? That means this. It means that God will reveal his arm. He'll roll up his sleeve, let you see his muscle, let you see how strong he really is. I used to tell this story long time ago when AJ was much younger. We talked about muscles, and AJ thought that I had more muscles than anybody. He said, make a muscle, Dad. And I'd make a muscle, he'd feel it. He said, man, you got big muscles. And he was telling his friend, my daddy got big muscles. You see, we have to be like AJ was. I don't care who else got a daddy, but I know my daddy, and he got big muscles. I know my daddy, and when he flexes his muscles, he looks real strong. Do anybody here know that God will reveal his arm to you? He'll show you his strength. He'll show you how strong he is. Oh, come on and say yes. But I gotta wait on him, because he'll strengthen my heart. You see, my heart is where I sometimes faint. My heart gets broken. My heart full of sorrow. My heart is full of pain. But then I have to look back and say that God will strengthen my heart. Now, how does he do that? He said that the Holy Ghost will shed abroad the love of God inside your heart. So love is most powerful. It was love that God said in his word, that I so loved the world that I give my only son. Jesus came down because of the love of God to express his love, and he died. Anybody know this? Do you know why he died? He died because you wasn't fit. You wasn't fit. And I wasn't fit to live. So he came and died so that we might have the right to eternal life. Anybody here realize what he did? I know what he done. If it had not been for the Lord dying on the cross, I would die and go to hell. But thanks be to God, hell won't see me. I won't go to hell, because he's made a way for me to go to heaven. He's made a way for me to live forever. Anybody here happy about Jesus? Hey, the Bible says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Too many times we get joy whenever we get blessed. Too many times, unless something happened to us, then we can't show joy. We can't rejoice. We can't show joy. But I came to say, it's a shame when the church house get quiet when you talk about Jesus. It's a shame, because he is the joy of my salvation. If it had not been for him, I couldn't tell you where I would be. I'd be dead, sleeping in my grave. But he came and said, death, you have to behave. He died, but early Sunday morning, you get tired of the story. But I don't get tired, because it done something for me. Sunday morning, he got up with power. Anybody know about this power? This the kind of power that leaves you feeling something. This is the kind of power that make you want to lift your hand. This is the kind of power that make you want to run and you ain't at the track meet. This is the kind of power that make you want to jump. Ain't nothing to jump about. This is the kind of power that make you want to tell somebody how good the Lord's been. This power make you want to dance. And I ain't at the club. Somebody say yes. Say yeah. If you know this power, you ought to stand on your feet and say, Lord, I need a touch of your power. I've been down too long. My enemy's been around me. I want to.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Al.